This is The Mountain Life, Healthy Living in the Wasatch. I'm Lynn Ware Peak, here with Tim Henney. It's not, you know, that we're in denial of aging. It's just human nature to want to do it gracefully. Plus, it's much better for our quality of life as we age. Our guest is a master sports nutritionist, a fitness expert.
I'm a fatness expert.
And a high-performance coach. Natalie Jill joins us to take us on a walk through her new book, Aging in Reverse. She presents a 10-day plan, which I think is just an introduction to the rest of your life. It introduces us to three key steps to help us feel better, stay healthier, and to age, but do it in reverse, shall we say. The steps are change your state, plan your plate, and love your weight. Natalie Jill, welcome to The Mountain Life. Great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Change your state, plan your plate, love your weight. Great alliteration. But what is changing your state?
Yeah, so it's a mindset piece. And some people look at fat loss and things that go along with aging as something that's not possible. Like I hear all the time, I'm too old, it's too late, or when I was younger, this was possible. It's, you know, not for me now. And that's a mindset shift because you're not too old and it's not too late. And we are very good at finding evidence and validation for whatever it is that we're believing. So me being 47 and approaching my 50s, I was encountering this a lot, especially with women, mm-hmm. saying that they thought they were too old and it's too late. And the first step in anything is switching your mindset around it and believing it is possible.
Yes. However, you know, let me ask you about this, because this is something I've wondered recently. When you're talking about staying fit, staying active, there is a natural decline in muscle mass, for example. We can slow that decline. It doesn't have to be what they say, which is something ridiculous, like 20% a year. So we can slow it. But as women go through menopause, something is happening that is different than what's happening to men. And so as when you said you hear it from a lot of women, I wonder how much the whole menopause conversation is the genesis.
Yeah, great question. So first of all, it's real. For sure, it's real. And we've made up a story about what that has to mean. And to give you an example, if you think of like an 11 or 12-year-old girl, they haven't even started menstruating yet. So they haven't gone through any hormonal changes. So being in menopause, if you think about it that way, could bring you back to that state of how was I before the swings and all of that. We have gotten really comfortable in society accepting that this is what happens to us, so we give up. And what I'm saying is things are real in our bodies that happen, but how we define that and what we make a reality about that is up to us. So the reason, like, I'll take the one thing you brought up, the muscle decline. Yes, if we are sedentary, we're not moving, we're not challenging ourselves, we're keeping things exactly the same, we are going to see a decline. However, if you apply progression and still working towards getting stronger, you don't have to have that decline. But that has to start with a belief in your mind that it's possible. And when we see so much in the media or so much in our friends saying this happens because, that stops us from even going for it.
Natalie, out of your three steps, change your state, plan your plate, love your weight, I wanted to ask you about loving your weight, because to me, that's something that could have an obvious contradiction to other aspects of your plan, right? I mean, either you love your weight or you don't love your weight and you want to change your state and plan your plate in order to change your weight.
Great question. A couple reasons for that. One, I want to get you to love your weight. So I'm not telling you to start loving your weight right now, today. But I want to get you to a place where you are actually loving it and loving what it does for you, what your body's doing for you. But also taking things from a step of a perspective of what I love about my body and what it does to me versus what I hate about my body. And so many people come to me with, I hate my stomach or I hate this. And when you do that, you just keep focusing on what you hate. So what I encourage people to do is let's find something that we're grateful with our bodies first. Like, I'm grateful my body can walk. I'm grateful that I have arms and legs. I'm grateful that I have strong calves. Whatever it is, you start focusing on that, and then you work on the other pieces. And then you're approaching things from a place of gratitude, and you're going to see more positive changes than approaching it from everything you hate about yourself.
And is that, does that feed into changing your state? And I'm thinking in terms of, we do a lot of interviews, and over the years we've talked about how detrimental sitting is, and it's been even described as, you know, the current era's form of cancer. Yeah. It's that bad for us. And
it's terrible.
And it seems like, you know, our current lifestyle forces us to sit an awful lot. Screen time. And I think anybody, if they could say, you know, 50 years ago, did people sit as much? They probably didn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's definitely horrible for you for a number of reasons. If you think about your body's literally just not moving, and if you think of a still body of water, what does it start breathing if it's not moving? So your body is designed to move, and so there's a whole host of things that happen from sitting, including tight hip flexors, which you have back pain. There's a lot of pain that goes with it. But you said that we're forced to, and that's a mindset shift as well, because it's decision. You don't have to sit. You can use a stand-up desk. You can sit on a stability ball. You can get up and move around. As I'm interviewing with you right now, I'm literally walking around with my phone. I'm not sitting. So it is a choice.
Well, you'll be thrilled to know that Lynn is doing squats right now in the studio while we're on air, because you just said that, and she's very competitive.
Bonus points. You're upping me. I'm not doing that right now.
Yes, I'm going to do plank for the entirety of our conversation.
That's amazing.
No,
that's
kidding.
Amazing.
I can do plank for about 45 seconds if I'm lucky.
That's incredible. You know, but that's an example of something I talk about in the book, though. When I talk about plank as an example, when people say, I don't have time, or
right,
I don't have a gym membership, a plank would change your whole body. And if you imagine if you focus on getting up to 5 minutes a day of a plank, like throughout the day, like what would that do for your body?
Right.
So simple choices, but it is a decision first, and that's why that state is so important. Everybody always is looking for the quick fix, like what's the pill, what's the wrap, what's the shake, what's the secret ingredient, you know? But really, it's a change of state first, and then choosing to look for people having success with this, looking for evidence that you can still thrive in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond.
Yes. If you're just joining us, our guest is Natalie Jill. She is the best-selling author of Natalie Jill's 7-Day Jumpstart. She's back with a new book called Aging in Reverse, The Easy 10-Day Plan to Change Your State, Plan Your Plate, and Love Your Weight. So a couple of things here. Aging in reverse, you're saying we are aging. It's a fact of life. Let's do it gracefully in a way that makes us feel good about ourselves. But saying doing it in reverse, is that the focus that we want to have?
Yeah. Let me explain that. So when you think of a kid, a child, they have this wonder of possibility, like anything's possible for them. They believe anything's possible. Like they're not aware of time or reasons why they can't do something. They're extremely present. They want to be superheroes. They want to be princesses. They don't think like it's not possible. When I talk about aging reverse, that's the big part I'm talking about first. What would that be like in our lives if we can bring back that youthful vision that we had for ourselves and we believed anything was possible? That's the first thing. Now, as far as the appearance and like what happens with that, that's choices that people make, and that's a very different thing. So I'm not physically saying like we're going to go back to looking like we're 20. That's not the goal of it. Mm-hmm. But what would it be like if we could show up with any possibility like when we were that age?
Yes. And by saying you've got this easy 10-day plan, obviously the 10-day plan is kind of this reinforcement to say, like, if you can do something for 10 days, guess what? You can do it for another 10 days and another 10 days until it becomes lifestyle.
Yes. And 10 days is what it would take when you practice these exercises I teach. And a lot of it is state. It's a lot of mindset. But when you go through the mindset exercises that I teach in the book and you practice those and you practice eating the way that I share and moving the way that I share in the book for 10 days, you will feel totally different. And that's the goal, because then you believe it's possible. And I want to get you to that state so you know, oh my gosh, I can take this on. Look what I've accomplished in 10 days. I'm not in pain. I have more focus. I have more energy. I'm looking forward to life. I feel passionate. That is the catalyst that draws you forward to new things.
And then let's talk about planning your plate. And this really should be a question that Lynn asks, because she just came back from Italy, where she stuffed herself with pasta and wine and pizza. And I think strudel while she was in Austria.
You don't know any of this.
But she's planking.
There's strong evidence to suggest. So let's talk about the plate, because the plate is a big part of anybody's overall health.
Yes. So first and foremost, my first rule is unprocessed diets. So eating natural, real foods, because that keeps it easy and simple, and that makes big changes. So eating, so she was in Italy, if she was eating things made from the freshest ingredients in their most natural state, that's, I'm good with that. I'm good with natural, real, unprocessed foods. I'm also a believer of focusing on what you can add into your life versus what all the things I can't have or should not ever have. Because the more of the good you add in, the less room you have for the bad. So those are my first like two rules with this. Then I take it a step further, and I really look at what causes inflammation, what causes pain. Because there's a lot of food that when we eat them, we might have been able to eat them for years and years without an issue. But now we have aches and pains in our joints, and we keep thinking it's a diagnosis or something wrong with us, but we haven't even looked at what can we remove from our diet, what can we change up, and see if that makes a difference. And I know from experience on myself, from working with many, many clients, from tons of research, that there's certain foods that really can change your whole response in your body to inflammation, like dairy, for instance, to removing dairy. And when I have people do that in this book for 10 days, they feel different, a lot of people.
Well, I have food rules, which I'm not going to tell you about because they would not be part of your food rules. But I do start my day with a green glowing smoothie. So that's the one food rule that I have that actually fits. And it is a wonderful thing. And it is all real food. So besides, you know, the real food and then the anti-inflammatory, removing those would be two food rules. Do you have other things that you would actually call rules that if people could adopt, it would set them on a different trajectory?
Yeah, so if eating foods that once grew is like my main thing. So that would be the step one, eating foods that once grew. So that means we're not eating Cheez-Its, for instance. Like that's a basic, simple thing. And people will say, duh, but then I see them doing it. So people are eating packaged foods, the juice foods, the diet sodas, and then they're wondering, they're telling you they're doing everything, they're not doing everything. You really look at unprocessing your diet, eating natural, real foods, that works. Now, that works with anybody. That works with you no matter what you're doing. You could be doing keto. You could be doing, Weight Watchers. You could be doing any number of diet plans and then still eat unprocessed foods. So as long as you're eating unprocessed natural foods, that is step one for me.
It seems like you approach the diet and sort of like everything in moderation. And I think right now there is this trend. I mean, we're getting barraged with so much, you know, it's got to be high protein and high fat and low carbs and the keto diet. And it's a little confusing.
No lectins.
Very confusing.
No lectins. That's right. And we do a lot of these interviews on the show. And it comes back to, okay, isn't it good enough to just say everything in moderation and a balance between, as you say, carbs, proteins, and fats?
Yes, it is absolutely. I think we've overcomplicated this diet industry, and a lot of it is marketing. It's looking for that next hook, that next thing. And it doesn't have to be that hard. It can be simple. And the thing that all these plans leave out, and I keep going back to it, but it is that mindset shift, because anything's going to work for you when you believe it's going to, because you're going to, you're then committed and you decide. So the gap on most programs and plans is in our mindset first. It's making that decision that it's possible. And then it's looking at what's going to work in your life. So I don't teach nutrition that doesn't work in people's lives. I think that eating all your food in a 4-hour window is not a lifestyle. Eating no carbs ever is not a lifestyle. Right. So it's using common sense and figuring out what's going to work in my lifestyle.
I love just you have these little boxes every couple of pages, and this one about an easy add-in. It's so simple, and yet do we do it? You know, it's adding dark greens, leafy greens to lots of things, like Tim does to his smoothie, I do to my smoothies. But this is, you know, you're making eggs, throw in some leafy greens. That's so simple.
Everything. Yes. How many vegetables can you add in a day? How much more water can you add in? It's focusing on the addition. What can I add in? Because the more of the good you add in, the less room for the bad, always.
And set up your fridge like a salad bar. This is so important, because if you have all of those things, you know, you go to a salad bar and it's so appealing. And you say, why don't I do this at home? Because I often will forego the salad because it seems too complicated to cut up everything and have a piece of peanut butter toast instead.
Yeah, because we go to the bags in the bottom of our fridge, and it's like the moldy old vegetables that we forgot about, and nobody wants those. So what I do is when I get my vegetables, I cut them up, I clean them, I put them in glass bins, I organize them in the fridge, so I open it up, that's what I see at eye level. a lot easier to grab a handful of carrots or celery or cherries or strawberries or, you know, nuts and seeds, whatever, because it's all eye level and really appealing, and I keep it that way, so I eat them.
Well, maybe it's appealing to you, Natalie, but do people ever open your refrigerator and go, what is going on here? I get that sometimes,
well, then,
but
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of funny,
so that's
right?
What do you want in your life? Like, so if somebody is super content and happy, that's my goal with people. So if you're happy and you're healthy and you're, I'm not going to argue with you about your diet. Like if you're happy and thriving, that's amazing. I always say to people, if that's working for you, amazing. But what I'm sharing this for are the people that are not happy. There's a lot of people that are not feeling confident, that are feeling too old. They're feeling too late. They're feeling the aches and pains. They are not happy. They want that change. They want to thrive. And I'm sharing tips on how to get you there. But I'm not there to challenge somebody else's way of eating if that works for them at all.
How's the response been to this book? Are you
amazing.
Liking?
Yes. Yes. People are loving it. There is that question, like, what do you mean age in reverse? So I'm getting a little of that, like, you can't take years off. But in a way, physically, logically, yes. Of course, we cannot actually take years off, but we can make your 50s feel and be like your 30s if you really are committed to it. And that's what I want. I'm not trying to make you look 30 again. I want you to thrive and have possibility like when you were younger.
And when you're not an author, are you speaking to groups about health and wellness and sharing your thoughts on this with the audiences?
Yes, a big focus of mine, if you can't tell already, that I love is the mindset, the personal development side, because I do think that's the root of everything, whether it's your health, your fitness, your business, your relationships, so much of it is mindset. And I think people hear mindset and they shy away, but I'm diving right into it because that is that missing link that's so important. And that's where I spend my time, whether it's on my podcast or speaking, is speaking into that.
What is the name of your podcast?
Called Leveling Up.
Oh, that's
right. Creating everything from nothing. Yeah.
Yes, yes. And it's a top-ranked podcast. You're doing really well with it.
Yes. Yes, in personal development, believe it or not. It's not on health and fitness at all. It's all what I've done there, and it's not me talking. It's all interviewing people, how they created everything from a place of failure or hardship and nothing. How did they change? And that was a big inspiration for this book because, you know, I realized just like in fat loss, with money, with everything, it's this change of state, deciding. So really those steps apply to everything, and it's what I saw interviewing everyone on my podcast.
Health and fitness and good nutrition is so tied in to mental wellness. It's really amazing. And I can only imagine those people that are chronically ill, how difficult it is to surmount that. And, you know,
yeah.
What do you say to those people?
So first and foremost, I absolutely have compassion for everyone that's dealing with anything. I mean, everybody's dealing with something. Some people are more extreme than others, and I get it, and I have compassion. But as a coach, as a leader, what I want to share is by me validating things and saying, you're right, that sucks, then I keep you stuck there. So it's my job to help you look for some possibility. Now, if you want to be stuck in a diagnosis or whatever, I get it. It's very hard, but you do have a choice to not accept that and look for another option. If you don't do that, there's literally no possibility. And that's where what I mean. So yes, I have compassion, but I'm saying if you want a chance, if you want an opportunity to thrive, then take on that belief that there's a possibility, because that's the only option.
Well, that's the first rule, isn't it? Changing your state. You have to change
yes.
your state of mind, and then you allow for other possibilities to present themselves.
Absolutely. I mean, we hear extreme cases all the time, and I got it that it's not the norm. It's very hard for that to be the norm. But there are people, you know, when you hear a doctor say you have 10% chance or 5%, like, what about the people that did? You know, so there's always you hear the great number, and then you hear the smaller number of percentage. You could be that percentage, but you have to decide you want that first.
Well, we have a community that has a multitude of options for working out and creating a plan and doing all that. And it's interesting to kind of see how people rotate through those different things like CrossFit, like Orange Theory.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of other ones here as well. I'm one of those people who rotates through. So I sort of, you know, go for a couple of years and then move on to the next one and do it mm-hmm. for a couple of years. And that has worked out, I guess, fairly well.
And I think that's great. I don't believe that there's only one way. What I want is for people to find what works for them and get off the conversation of everything that doesn't work for them, because that's the bigger issue, is there's a lot of people talking about what doesn't work and what's wrong with them versus looking for the solutions and looking for something that does.
Well, that's a good rule of thumb to use in life in general, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. So it's not just one way, you know. It's not ever just one way.
Our guest is Natalie Jill. Her book is Aging in Reverse, The Easy 10-Day Plan to Change Your State, Plan Your Plate, and Love Your Weight. Natalie, before we let you go, I have wondered, and it's something I haven't asked recently of any of our guests, about collagen. I looked it up in your book, and you do have a little blurb on it. And the reason I ask is I was in our natural food store the other day, and I saw a book called something like The Collagen Myth. I didn't pick it up, so I don't know what the myth is. But can you take collagen as a supplement and have it work to reduce wrinkles and help your nails and skin?
Yeah, so I do take collagen as a supplement. If you think about our skin, our gut health, our joints, everything is formed from collagen. So adding collagen into your diet, it's certainly not going to hurt. So let's look at it that way. So to me, it's an insurance policy. There is a lot of research on collagen working for gut health, for joints, for reducing pain, for making you have youthful skin. There's a lot of benefits to collagen and bone broth, so I do choose to include them. I feel that it works for me. It works for my clients. Now, can we find evidence supporting that maybe it's a myth? Of course. But can we do the same thing with coconut oil? Can we do the same thing with anything?
Yes.
Yeah. You can always find evidence either direction.
Yes.
I'm going to go with the insurance policy that it can't hurt, so I might as well do it.
I like that. It can't hurt. So Leveling Up is the name of Natalie's podcast, Creating Everything from Nothing, her new book, Aging in Reverse, The Easy 10-Day Plan. It's been great speaking with you, and I'm sure that we will try to speak with you in the future. Do you have any, what are the next plans for this?
Oh my gosh. My mission is to not let all my ideas just go. I'm a constant idea person. So my husband's working on me to not work on new ideas yet. Just be in the moment. So that's my plan right now.
Okay.
Well, Lynn was not only doing squats at one point during the interview, but she's also taken up the moderation and finding balance, and she stopped.
Okay.
Just after those squats. I don't believe she did any plank at all, even though
she'll do that later today.
Yeah, later today. That's it.
Natalie,
thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much.